You've had hurts, disappointments, and been through some trials. God is calling you into a new season where He can mold and make you into the one He created you to be. Now the Word with Pastor Paul.
I mean, our heart's desire is to be obedient to the Lord according to Ephesians chapter 4, verse 12, where he says, verse 11 says, "And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers." Verse 12 says, "For the equipping of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ." God gives all these ministry gifts so that he can equip you for the work of the ministry. That's so important. It's an important distinction to note. So our heart desire this year, as we go through the year, is that everyone will be equipped for the work of the ministry, and then we'll have various topics that we are covering, and some cases beginning in March. For instance, we have somebody else joining us as we start talking about how our finances, and this month we're talking about how to be led by the Holy Spirit. We'll talk about sowing, we'll talk about so many aspects that will get you ready, that when you step out of the building, you are confident that you are also a witness for Jesus and you can make a difference in our world. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Glory be to the name of the Lord. All right, I had to get that all cleared up. All right, so last week, let's turn our Bibles. Let's go to Matthew chapter 4 verse 17. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Actually, let's start from verse 18. Matthew 4:18. Glory be to the name of the Lord. It says, "And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon called Peter, and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, 'Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men.' They immediately left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boats with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. He called them, and immediately they left the boat and their father and followed him." And my heart desire this morning is that God will give you an encounter with the Word of God that will transform your life. The Bible says that the entrance of His Word brings light. When God's Word comes to you, it brings light, it brings illumination. And I pray in the name of Jesus that as you sit under the influence of God's Word this morning, may your life not remain the same after today. If you believe that, say amen. God has destined for all of us to live our life to fulfill His plan for our lives. And every time I minister, I'm conscious of the fact that throughout the week and throughout our lives, we run into certain circumstances where sometimes we are hurt, sometimes we are dealing with various issues in life that we want to overcome. There are certain things we want to be able to see in our lives and in this year, and all that God has planned for our lives. But when you read this account here, Jesus was walking by the sea. He saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and Andrew his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, "Follow me, and I will make you fishers of men." Follow me, and I will make you. 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 My Lord and my God, you see, Jesus is calling them to something greater. And so many times in our lives, we look at where we are. But Jesus, when He comes to us, looks at what He can make out of our lives. So important to realize that. It is said of Michelangelo, the greatest artist. He was before a granite, and he had his chisel, and he was working on the on the rock. And someone came to him and said to him, "What are you doing to this rock?" Oh, he said, "I see an angel in there." That person saw the rock and he kept chipping away. He kept chipping away and he kept chipping away. Oh, so many times. For these people, the world may see them as just fishermen. The world may just see them as insignificant people. Oh, people that are down and out, people that may be smelling even from their work, and there are certain areas of their lives where they are insignificant. But how many of you know, oh, Jesus right here sees beyond the fishermen. He sees them as changers of nations. He sees them as his disciples. He sees them as something, people that he can take and make something great out of them. Oh, people may look at you, the world may look at you one way, but God sees you and he sees who he has made you to be and what he has quirk he can take you to be. Follow me and I will make you. Follow me and I will make you. Follow me and I will make you. Oh, like for instance, for David, the children of Israel just saw a shepherd boy. Oh, but God saw in him as a king. He saw him as a giant slayer. Everybody said the giant was too big. Oh, David saw it from another angle. He's too big, it is easy to kill. Hallelujah. It all comes down to perspective. Oh, but when you look at yourself sometimes in your life, you look at your past. And it is you look at the hurt, the disappointment, and the failures. And the question that you ask yourself is, how can I fulfill all that God has for my life? What Jesus is saying to you this morning is, follow me and I will make you. For the madman at Gadara in Mark chapter 5, oh, everyone saw somebody who was mad. But Jesus saw him as somebody. He took the effort, crossed over to the other side just for that one person. Because in that one person, he saw a preacher. And when it was all said and done, he said, go home and tell your friends what great things the Lord has done for you. The outcast, the destitute. Oh, Jesus specializes in taking those and making something out of those people. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You see, when we talk about following, we are talking about emulating somebody. When we talk about following, we are talking about imitating someone. You are trying to be like the one that you are following. You are trying to catch up with the person that you are following. You are trying to search forward, and we even see that in little children. When they start following and imitating their parents, especially at a very young age, when they start talking, I remember the kids, when they started talking, the first words that came out, they are making every effort to sound just like us. Notice what the Bible says, thank you, Lord Jesus, in Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5 from verse 1. He says, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. You see, even before this, everyone that Jesus Christ called, he said to follow him. And in some cases, when he calls us to follow him, in this particular verse, he says, be followers of God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and has given himself for us an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling savor. So following God, following Jesus, he tells us exactly how to do it here. He says, walk in love. You love me the same way that I love you, and love others as well. And then not only that, he says he gave himself as an offering and a sacrifice to God. Following God involves loving him, walking in love, and then being willing to sacrifice as well. He says, the other translation says, imitate. The New King James puts it this way. He says, that therefore be imitators of God as dear children. You are trying to imitate God. You are trying to follow God and walk in love as Christ also has loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. Thank you, Lord Jesus. One time, Jesus called somebody to follow him. And when he called this person, what the person's response is, and you see, when he calls us to follow him, it warrants a response. It's a choice and a decision to follow him. One time when he called some people, that person said, I need to go and take care and bury my father first, and then I'll come and follow you. Somebody else said, let me go and say goodbye to my family, and then I'll come and follow you. But to that person, he said, to the person who puts his hand in the plow and looks back, it's not fit for the kingdom of God. In other words, if you are going to follow me, be serious about it. Don't play games with me. You must be determined to follow me with your all. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Be imitators of God, or follow God as dear children, and walk in love as Christ also loved us and given himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God for a sweet smelling aroma. And when he calls us, he is taking us. And he calls us to make us. Follow me, and I will make you. Follow me, and I will make you. Follow me, and I will make you. When he saw Peter at first, he says, your name is Simon, but you shall be. Your name is Simon, but you shall be. In John chapter 1, verse 42, in the Amplified, you are Simon, and you shall be called Peter. Cephas, you are this, but I will call you and make you this. You are a reed, you are easily shaken. But I am calling you to make you a rock. This morning, I have come to assure you by the word of God that no matter where you are today, as you make a decision to be a follower of Jesus, to be a disciple of Jesus, in Jesus' mighty name, I see him taking you from where you are and making you who he has called you to be. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Somebody will say, Lord, you don't know who I am. You don't know my past. You don't know the family that I came from. You don't know what I'm dealing with right now. I can assure you that Jesus knows you. Jesus knows you. He knows you. And he cares about you. He watches over you affectionately. So important to realize that. Follow me, and I will make you. I'm reminded of the potter in Jeremiah chapter 18. Jeremiah chapter 18. From verse 1. He says, the word which came to Jeremiah from the Lord saying, arise and go down to the potter's house, and there I will cause you to hear my words. Then I went down to the potter's house, and there he was making something at the wheel. And the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So he made it again into another vessel, as it seemed good to the potter to make. Notice the phrase, he says, the vessel that he made of clay was marred in the hand of the potter. So many times in our lives, there are broken places of our lives. There are areas of our lives where it is broken, where it is marred. And when we look at those areas of our lives, those broken places of our lives, we look at ourselves and we say, Lord, what can you do with us? But that is the material that God takes. Notice he says, so he made it again into another vessel. He made it again into another vessel. It sounds like what Jesus Christ said, follow me and I will make you. He will take your life and make it into another vessel. He will take your life and turn it around. He will take your life and change it for the glory of God. He will take the mad places of your life. He will take the hurting places of your life. He will take the past disappointments. He will take the past failures. And he says, oh, follow me and I will make you. I will take your life and make it into another vessel that is fit for the master's use. This morning, no matter what you may be going through, no matter the places of your life that are mad, that doesn't look beautiful, that doesn't look good, our God is saying to you this morning, I will take you and make you into another vessel. Thank you, Lord Jesus. Verse 5 in Jeremiah says, then the word of the Lord came to me saying, O house of Israel, can I not do with you as this potter, says the Lord? Look, as the clay is in the potter's hand, so are you in my hand. O Israel. Thank you, Lord Jesus. O house of Israel, can I not do with you the same way the potter takes this clay and molds it to become what he wants? God wants to take your life and turn it around. But it starts with a decision, with you saying that, Jesus, I will follow you. I'm going to be a student, a disciple of the Lord Jesus Christ. I'm going to follow you. Thank you, Lord Jesus. But the question is, how do you follow somebody you don't see? Think about it. Oh, glory be to the name of the Lord. You can follow the Lord closely through his word. Through his word. And then also, you can follow people that God has set in the church who are good examples. Notice what the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. Thank you, Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verse 1. He put it this way. He says, be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. Follow me as I follow 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 Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And he was an apostle. And he was writing this to the church. And as I'm following Christ, you can follow me as well. Thank you, Lord Jesus. You see, the thing is, in another place, you can also have examples of people around you. And that is why you have to be cautious who you follow. Notice what he says in Philippians chapter 3, verse 17. I like how he puts it in the New Living in the New Living translation. He says, dear brothers and sisters, pattern your lives after mine and learn from those who follow our example. Pattern your life. I like the Apostle Paul because I happen to be named after him. After Jesus is what is my favorite in the Bible. But he's saying here, pattern your lives after me and learn from those who follow our example. So if they're not following our example, don't pattern your life after them. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And then you must also be a follower of that which is good. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 13. 1 Peter chapter 3, verse 13. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Notice what the Bible says. Thank you, Lord. Follow things that are good. He says, and who is he who will harm you if you become followers of what is good? Thank you, Lord Jesus. And then as you study the Bible as well, notice what the Bible says in Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. Hebrews chapter 6, verse 12. Thank you, Lord. The Bible says, he says, and do not be slothful, but followers of them who through faith and patience inherit the promises. Follow those who through faith, how do you inherit the promises? Through faith and patience inherit the promises. Don't be slothful. For instance, if you, thank you, Lord Jesus. Abraham was very successful. How many of us will agree with that? We are still talking about Abraham even in our day. The Bible says, thank you, Lord. In Genesis chapter 24, Genesis chapter 24 from verse 1, he says, now Abraham was old, well advanced in age, and the Lord had blessed him in all things. Everything. He was blessed in everything. Very old and blessed. If he was living in our day, you put him on the TV and do an interview and go to Father Abraham and say, Father Abraham, what was the difference in your life? What caused God to reveal himself to you? What caused you to have such a close walk with God? What caused you to be blessed in all things? Tell me the secret. Abraham will tell you that number one, he says, through faith and patience inherit the promises. I had faith in God. I believed God. If God said to me, leave my country and go to another country, I just followed God. I just started following. If God came to me and said, give Isaac to me, I walked in obedience and I was willing to give up Isaac and to sacrifice. Abraham, what was the difference in your life? He will tell you that I endeavored to follow God as best as I knew how. I endeavored to obey God. You see, to follow Jesus, we must get to the place where we are willing to obey and do all that he says. Abraham will have told you that. He was blessed in all things, not just some things. His children was blessed. Financially, he was blessed. He died in a good old age without sickness and disease. When he was ready to go, he just departed, the Bible says. How did you do it? He will tell you that I endeavored to follow God. I endeavored to obey God. And it's the same thing for us. It's no different. Because, you see, disobedience is what got all of us in this mess, right from the Garden of Eden. It's so important. Disobedience is what one man's disobedience got all of us in this mess. But again, it's through another man's obedience that we were restored. We cannot get away from that. Notice what the Bible says in Romans chapter 5, verse 19. Romans chapter 5, verse 19. He says, for as by one man's disobedience, many were made sinners, so also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. By one man's disobedience, many were made sinners. So also by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. Every time you make a decision to obey God, you have to realize that it doesn't just affect you, it affects others. Every time you disobey, it's the same thing. Our obedience or disobedience affects others. It goes a long way. When we make a decision to obey God, as He reveals to us through, by one, think about it, one man's obedience, many were made sinners. One man's disobedience, many were made sinners. Now, by one man's obedience, many will be made righteous. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ, I see your obedience not only impacting you, but others as well. Yes. Thank you, Lord Jesus. So important to realize that. There was a certain man that came to Jesus. Notice in Mark chapter 10. Thank you, Lord. We'll see a contrast here. Mark chapter 10. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Once he came to Jesus, Mark chapter 10, verse 18. Actually, let's start from 20. It will make it clearer. He says, and he answered and said to him, let's start from 18, 17. Mark 10, 17. Now, as he was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him and asked him, good teacher, what shall I do that I may inherit eternal life? So Jesus said to him, why do you call me good? No one is good but one, that is God. You know the commandment. Do not commit adultery. Do not murder. Do not steal. Do not bear false witness. Do not defraud. Honor your father and your mother. And he answered him and said to him, teacher, all these things I have kept from my youth. Then Jesus, looking at him, loved him. I love that phrase. And said to him, one thing you lack. Go your way, sell whatever you have, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come take up the cross and follow me. But he was sad at this word and went away sorrowful, for he had great possessions. Then Jesus looked around and said to his disciples, how hard it is for those who have riches to enter the kingdom of God. And the disciples were astonished at his word. And Jesus answered again to them, children, how hard it is for those, notice now he clarifies it, who trust in riches to enter the kingdom of God. It is easier for a camel to go through the eye of a needle than for a rich man to enter the kingdom of God. You see, in Abraham had been blessed, and Deuteronomy 28 verse 1 talked about the fact that when they obeyed God, they will be blessed. This man had obeyed the commandment, and he had experienced a certain level of blessing. He came to Jesus. He says, I've done all these things. What do I still need to do to inherit eternal life? Jesus said, one thing you lack. And usually that's the case with us. One thing is lacking. Something is missing. Go and sell everything that you have. He's calling him to sacrifice. Take up your cross. Sacrifice and come and follow me. This man looked at his possessions, all that he had. And he went away sad. But he was boasting about how he had obeyed the commandment and how he had done everything. Jesus said, you are lacking one thing. And Jesus gave him a very good deal. He just didn't know it. Because Proverbs chapter 13, thank you, Lord. The Bible says, it's so important to realize this. Because from his perspective, he was losing out. Notice what the Bible says in Proverbs chapter 19, verse 17. He says, he that has pity on the poor lends unto the Lord, and that which he has given, will he pay him again? He had give it all away and be done with. Jesus said, I'm giving you a deal. You are just lending it to the Lord. You will have treasures in heaven. And he had one thing. You keep your treasures with me. When you need it, you can cash it. He had give it and do without. So he missed that. That's why he said something is missing. And the interesting thing is, when you continue reading down in Mark, let's go back there. Now this will help us. Mark chapter 10, go back there again. If you read further down, after he's gone, he's left. He didn't hear the other part that came. In verse 26, he says, Mark 10, 26, and they were as greatly astonished, saying among themselves, who then can be saved? But Jesus looked at them and said, with men it is impossible, but not with God. For with God all things are possible. Then Peter began to say to him, see, we have left all and followed you, remembering what in the beginning when he called them. So Jesus answered and said, assuredly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake and the gospel, who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses, brothers, sisters, and mothers and children and lands with persecution, and in the age to come, eternal life. The other man, he's gone. He didn't hear this. He's gone. And if you notice in the Bible, after that day, you didn't hear of him again. When he decided that discipleship was too costly. Following Jesus was too costly. Following Jesus, he was going to have to give up something, and he turned away. That was the last day you heard of him in the Bible. Compare that to Peter, who, when he heard it, left all and followed Jesus. Today, we are still talking about Peter. The other man, now I'm calling him the other man. I don't know who he is. The point is, you don't lose when you decide to follow Jesus, no matter the cost of following Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord Jesus. And when he takes you, he's going to transform your life. There was a certain man in South Korea. His name was Ru. I hope I got the Korean pronunciation right. When he was growing up, his family was very poor. He grew up in a farming village. And his family was very poor and couldn't take him to school. But the neighbors and the people around realized that he was very smart, very intelligent. So they offered to take him to school. And he went all the way up to fifth grade. And in fifth grade, a church was planted in that town. And the pastor told him, one of the things the pastor told him was, continue to pray. When you pray to God, he will hear your prayers and answer them. So Rue began to go for early morning prayers. And he said, when I started going, it was very difficult to go to the morning prayer. But he reasoned out this way, that if I had an appointment with the president of this nation at that hour, or with a cabinet minister or somebody, would I go for that appointment or not? How much more the omnipotent and all-powerful God? So he started going faithfully. And then he got to a point, he started middle school at the age of 18. And he kept doing odd jobs to go through middle school. I mean, various jobs, delivering newspapers, signing shoes, and so on. And at some point, one day he was so hungry, he picked up a lump of rice in a trash can and ate it. But he finished high school and college supporting himself. And then when he finished, he had this dream to make Korean farm villages into better places. And he wanted to learn in the most advanced agriculture technologies from that most advanced country in terms of agriculture. And that country happens to be Denmark. So he prayed to God, remembering what his pastor had told him when he was very young. He says he prayed to God, asking what he needs to do in order to study in Denmark. And God said to him, write to the highest office in Denmark. So he wrote a letter, he opened the encyclopedia, and he found the king of Denmark. He found his name, but he didn't have an address. He says, God, what am I supposed to do? God said, do you think if you write a letter to the highest office, to the king, you will get it? He said, yeah, I think they will get it. So he put a letter in there and wrote it to the king and prayed to God and said, Lord, let me be accepted into Denmark on a scholarship. And one day he was there and someone came dressed very nicely. And he says, I'm looking for Mr. Rue. He mentioned his first name and he said, this is the person I'm looking for. He said, this is he. He said, no, you are not him. I'm looking for Mr. Rue. He said, this is he. Because he was dressed in a ragged cloth, doesn't look like it. He said, who are you that the king of Denmark will call for you and give you a scholarship? Thank you, Lord. So they took him there. Everything was paid for. And when he got there, now he had a difficulty. He didn't know the Danish language. So he asked God, what am I supposed to do here? God said, how did you learn the Korean language? And he gave him an instruction that you just keep repeating after them and look for the common phrases in the language and learn 10 sentences every day. So when they say hello, he repeats hello. When they say, what's the matter? He says, what's the matter? And God helped him to learn that language. And when he finished and came back into Korea, the president, he finished his advanced degree and came back into Korea, the president took him to oversee his initiative in all those farming villages. Glory be to the name of the Lord. And as he continued trusting God, he went to Israel, did his PhD, and then came back. But this is what he said. And then eventually became a vice president of a university. And now he's just going around in his 80s sharing his testimony. But then listen to what he said. He says, Ruth says, since I'm stupid, I sometimes do not understand the will of God. I will run about in confusion and conflict. Therefore, I read and study the Bible more, never neglecting to pray to God. I have to ask God for the answers of my problems. It is important that we read the Bible and pray to God based on the word. Only then we can seek the will of God, not our own will, in this busy contemporary life. God picked somebody who was willing to follow him. That's the sense. And as he was faithful to follow God and dedicate his life to God. God took him and made him. This morning, in the mighty name of Jesus Christ, it doesn't matter where you are. It doesn't matter the chaos in your life. It doesn't matter the past hurt and disappointment. I have come to assure you by the word of God that as you yield your life to God, I see God taking someone's life and turning it around. Oh, this morning, I see somebody succeeding in the career that God has for them. This morning, I see a success. I see successful business people. This morning, I see somebody, oh God, my Lord and my God, the gifts and the talents that he has placed in within you, oh, are being used for his glory. This morning, in the mighty name of Jesus, as you make a choice, as you make a decision to follow the Lord, oh, I see God making you and molding you into who he has called you to be. I remember when he called me, as young as I was. I will sometime sit down and weep in his presence. And I said, Lord, my life is yielded to you. Take my life and use it to impact my generation. Oh, the world may call you a failure. The world may look at you and say, what good can come out of you? But in the mighty name of Jesus, as by one man's obedience, many were made righteous. In Jesus' mighty name, I see that through your obedience, you enter God's very best for your life. If you believe that, say amen. Amen. Through your obedience, follow me and I will make you. You see, for one person, for somebody who is yielded to God, totally yielded to God, can make a difference for a very long time. Today we talk about the blessing. The Bible talks about the blessing of Abraham. He was faithfully following and obeying God. As you follow and obey God, your life will make a tremendous impact on not only you, but on others around you, on others who are even yet to come if Jesus tarries. Jesus doesn't look at where you are. He looks at what he can make out of your life. You look at your present circumstance. You look at your present where you are, and Jesus doesn't look at it that way. He looks at it from a standpoint of potential. He looks at you. Wow, this person is created in my image and in my likeness. I see myself in them. I dwell in them. I live in them. But if we are willing to yield our lives to God and say, Lord, let your will be done in my life. Lord, take the broken and marred places of my life and make me into another vessel. Make me into another vessel. Make me into another vessel. My past notwithstanding, not who I am today, but who you can make me to be. Lord, my life is yielded in your hands. My life is yielded to you. I want to go deeper with you. I want to know you more than I've ever known you before. Make me into another vessel. Make me into another vessel. Oh, I yielded my life to God, and I tell you, it gets sweeter by the day. Oh, he will help you along the path. No matter what comes up, he will help you. He will deliver you and help you. How many of us this morning are willing to make that commitment? Lift up your hands and let me see. To follow Jesus so he can make. Place your other hand on your heart and say, Lord Jesus, help me to follow you. Help me to walk in love and to sacrifice like you did. Anything that would distract me from following you, holy, take it out of my life. Anything standing in my way of being fully yielded to you, take it out of the way. In Jesus' mighty name. Talk to God now by yourself. Talk to God and make a fresh commitment to God to yield your life to God. Talk to him this morning. Talk to him this morning. Talk to him this morning. Glory be to the name of the Lord. His presence is here. Talk to him this morning. My Lord and my God, to yield your life, to obey and to serve the Lord. In the mighty name of Jesus Christ. Following Jesus is a privilege. The call, not everyone is called to follow, but you have responded to that call to follow. Talk to the Lord this morning. Thank you, Father. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Glory be to the name of the Lord. Oh, I see somebody here. Your life will count in the kingdom of God. Your life will count in the kingdom of God. Your life will count in the kingdom of God. In the mighty name of Jesus.
We pray this message empowered you to embrace your new season as the Lord makes you into all he created you to be. On our website, find the contact button where you can send us questions about the message you just heard. Be sure to download our WMCI app from your app store to stay connected and grow with Minnesota.